Our sermon text this morning begins in Malachi chapter 2, verse 17, into chapter 3, verse 7. Malachi 2:17. Now hear the word of the Lord. You have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, in what way have we wearied him? In that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Or, where is the God of justice? Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. And the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien, because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. How awesome are your works, O Lord! May your enemies submit themselves to you, and all the earth praise you. Observe the nations and rule by your power forever. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. Lord, we come to hear what you have done for our souls. Do not turn away from us, and attend to the voice of our prayer. Speak to us and teach us from your word. For Jesus' sake, amen. Please be seated. Boys and girls, you can track today with Lord as the Lord and Levite. Lord and Levite. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, Advent is a time of preparation. It is about getting things into order, for something significant is going to happen. Are you ready for it? In the case of Advent, someone significant is coming, that is, the King. Now, before a king arrives, he sends his servants to get the place ready. Are you ready to meet the king? This is the case with our second message of this Advent season. Last Lord's Day, the message from Jeremiah 33, the focus was on waiting, even waiting for a long time. Today, the focus is on getting ready to meet the king. This message is from Malachi 3, which highlights the dynamic of the king sending a messenger to prepare the people for the king's arrival. Now, Malachi, that name, means my messenger, or my angel. The prophet Malachi may have literally been named Malachi, Or it may have been a title given to him. He's my messenger, says the Lord. Malachi prophesied about 80 years after the return from exile and just over 400 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. Malachi prophesied during a dark and quiet time in the life of Israel, though at the time it was a time of peace. Malachi's prophetic message was to Israel, but mainly it was to the priests, to the Levites. His prophetic message concerned sacrifices. It concerned offerings at the rebuilt temple. Malachi's message was one of worship. Worship concerns. And the dominant sin at the time of Malachi was hypocrisy, which is also the dominant sin at the time of Jesus Christ and our day, hypocrisy. Now, at Jeremiah's message, his prophecy from last Lord's Day addressed the restored Levitical sacrifices. Again, Jeremiah 33, 17 and 18. For thus says Yahweh, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel, nor shall the priests, the Levites, lack a man to offer ascension offerings before me, to kindle grain offerings, and to sacrifice continually. That was Jeremiah's message before the people went back to the land. For the Lord, Yahweh, graciously brought his people back from exile in Babylon, and he blessed them with the reconstruction of the temple by his making his dwelling place with his people. Though the Lord had greater work, he expanded his work to the Gentile emperors or empires. The Lord chose Israel to be his people. He chose Israel even after the exile. But despite this electing love, the Jews hypocritically and faithlessly worshipped Yahweh with imperfect sacrifices, animals with blemishes. The animals the people brought had blemishes, they were lame, and this transgressed the laws of Leviticus, the Lord's commands for sacrifices, and specifically the third commandment. For when you bring bad sacrifices to the temple, you are vainly asking the Lord to bless you, asking the Lord to bless the people. You're saying, we're not offering our best. Lord, please bless us. That is hypocritically worshiping. It is praying, attaching Jesus' name in a vain way. It's futile. And the Lord will not hold those guiltless who use his name in vain. For the Lord deserves the best from his people. He deserves the best. He says, I choose you. I set my covenant love on you. You are dead apart from me. And this is how you worship me. This is how you do it. And in response, the people at the time of Malachi says, nah, we'll fake it. We'll offer just good enough. Just enough that it's kind of what the Lord requires. And he'll have to honor it. Now, Israel knew better than to come to worship in a hypocritical manner. And those who were most responsible for this were the Levites. The Levites were the gatekeepers to approaching Yahweh. They were tasked to be the worship leaders of God's people. And they had to catch these blemished sacrifices before they were ever offered. Now, Malachi may have been a priest, he may have been a Levite, and he may have been rebuking his own guys. For the Levites were the human angels, the messengers before the temple throne of God. The Levites led and protected worship. Boys and girls, do you know when the Levites were first commissioned to serve the Lord at his holy dwelling place? They were first commissioned at the golden calf incident. Later, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, a Levitical priest, he intervened to turn back God's wrath at Peor. So the Levites were the closest humans to Yahweh's holy presence. In a way, they were his best friends. They were nearest. They stood nearest to the Lord, and they rejoiced to have a God so near to them, to his people Israel. The Levites were to regard his holy presence with reverence and awe. They were to lead Israel, the bride, in covenant worship, bringing the people to the Lord. So my messenger, Malachi, called them to repentance for perverting worship, but also for their own hypocrisy. For among the Levites was the sin of marital unfaithfulness. Divorce was prevalent among the Levites. And this was a failure of leadership and reflected a breakdown in covenant representation. First, you have the animal sacrifices that represented the people. They were blemished before the Lord, and they reflected a people who were blemished and ought not to have come before the Lord's presence. In the sacrificial system, when the Lord accepted a sacrifice, he accepted the people. When he rejects the lame and blemished animals, he rejects the people. And the Levitical husbands, in their unfaithfulness, they misrepresented the Lord in their marriages. When they committed adultery and they divorced, they faithlessly imaged Yahweh as an unfaithful God, as an unfaithful husband. This was a grievous sin. In their failures of service with the imperfect sacrifices, they weren't loving the people. They weren't being good angels before the Lord, good worship leaders. They weren't loving the temple. So Malachi called the leadership, and he called the people to repentance. Get right with the Lord. Get your worship right. Get your lives right. And with that rebuke came a threat. This was a covenant-keeping threat, for another messenger was coming. Malachi 3, verse 1, the Lord says, "Behold, I send my messenger, I send Malachi, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming," says Yahweh of hosts. This is another Levite's coming. You are trying to draw near. You're trying to come to God for worship. You delight in him, you say. But someone greater is coming. Another messenger of the priestly line will come, and he will come to prepare. To prepare the people and to prepare the way. Boys and girls, who was this messenger in the Gospels? It was John. John, the son of Zechariah, the priest. John, the Levite, would come before the Lord would come. If you read Luke, the first chapter of his Gospel account, details this. Luke begins not with the birth of Jesus, but with the birth of John, who was the forerunner to the Christ to be born. And Yahweh's messenger, his Malachi, John, prepared the people. John went before to revive the people, to turn the people from provoking the Lord with their hypocrisy or their faithless worship. This is what they did in the days of Malachi with their faithless sacrifices. And this was the issue during the prophetic ministry of John in his preparation for the coming of Christ. The messenger is connected to the Lord. The messenger is connected to the Lord. In Exodus 32, at the golden calf, the Levites, they were the embodied punishment from the Lord upon the rebellious and idolatrous people. They carried out his judgment. They were connected to him. And they slayed with the sword. They slew the people. Phinehas, the Levitical priest, he killed with the spear. And he had, his jealousy was Yahweh's jealousy. The Lord was pleased with Phinehas for connecting his jealousy to the Lord's. At the time of Malachi, Israel was unclean. At the time of John, Israel was unclean. Blemished animals would have rightly represented Israel at the time of John. So he called the people to get right. He called out the wicked leadership. For John was the greater Levite. He didn't wield a sword or spear. He did have the axe of God's judgment to slay the wicked worshipers in Israel. And as he showed historically, previously, the Lord would come after his Levite. The Lord would come in the flesh in his first advent. And when Jesus shows up, he goes right to the temple. Luke's gospel prominently features the temple. It opens with the temple, with Zechariah. Young Jesus goes to the temple. The gospel concludes with the Lord's judgment on the temple. For the glory of the Lord was in the person of Jesus Christ. And John's rebuke, which was Malachi's threat of judgment, preceded Jesus' coming. For the people had reason to fear. But if they responded in faith, the consuming fire of the Lord turns from wrath to grace. Malachi 3, verses 2 and 3. Who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to Yahweh an offering in righteousness. If you come before the consuming fire of the Lord and you are wicked, you get burned up. But if you come before the consuming fire of the Lord and you are righteous, you are blessed. Think about it. You put, before an open flame, you lay chaff before the open flame. What happens to that chaff? It gets burned up. But if you put wheat before a fire, the Lord bakes it into bread, into a loaf. Brothers and sisters, church, you come before the Lord this day. You come before his glorious presence. Are you wicked chaff? If so, you will be consumed. If you are righteous in the sun, he will take y'all and bake you into a loaf. If you come in your own hypocrisy, He will reject you like a blemished animal. But if you cling to Jesus Christ, the true spotless Lamb, and His blood covers you, you are accepted. In the Spirit, the glory presence of God refines you, purifies you, strengthens you. So let us consider the three responses to coming to God. There is indifference, which is hypocritical, worshiping in vain. There is coming fearfully because of judgment, because of punishment. And then number three, there is holy reverence. Fear of judgment are those who are not right with the Lord. You have something legitimately to fear. Those committing wicked sins. You know if you are committing wicked sins. We might not know, but the Lord knows. And you know. Living lives like the Lord does not see, but He does see, and He will address them. Verse 5, I will come near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners, widows, and orphans, against those who turn away an alien because they do not fear me, says Yahweh of hosts. This is Malachi's threat. This is also John's threat. Repent. Stop your sinful ways. Produce fruit consistent with your repentance. Fear God and repent. On the other side, holy reverence comes from a covenantal commitment to God. It's not a trust in self. You don't come boldly here because you are perfectly righteous in and of yourself. You come because you're covenantally dependent upon the Lord. You recognize that His salvation is all of grace. And we keep coming back to His mercy. We keep coming back to His patience. We rejoice that our God is a long-suffering God with us. And we confess our sins because we need that cleansing. We need to be refined. We need to be laundered by the cleansing blood of Jesus. For He is our Lord, our covenantal husband. The Lord regards the covenant highly. He regards His covenantal vows. He graciously keeps His side of the covenant without fail. Verse 6, I am Yahweh, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. He is gracious. He keeps His side. But we break covenant when we sin. When we are unfaithful. Verse 7, yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances, and you have not kept them. You have sinned. Return to me, and I will return to you, says Yahweh of hosts. The Lord pursues His bride. He took on human flesh. He laid down His own life for the glory of union and communion with us, His people. The message of Malachi, get worship right, get your life right. Be faithful to your Lord. That is the message of John, his messenger, another Malachi. Because the Lord is coming. He is coming to keep the covenant. And He has promised covenant blessings and covenant curses. That's what He brings with Him. He will judge the wicked. He will slay them with the sword from His mouth. He will burn them up like chaff. And He'll graciously bring the righteous through the judgment. That's what your baptisms point to, is you pass through the judgment unharmed. This is the promise for those who fear Him. John said, the kingdom is coming. Jesus will atone for the sins of his bride. He will strengthen his people. He will refine his people through the process of testing and perseverance. And the glorious realization, brothers and sisters, the glorious realization of these Advent promises is right here today. It's the blessings of covenant worship. God with his people, his people with God. Love and faithfulness dwell in this meeting. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Jesus the Son came to restore worship, to chase out hypocrisy, to rid the bride of wickedness, to atone and to cleanse. Garden fellowship was God's design from the beginning. Sin necessitated expulsion from the most holy place. And since then, since Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden, our Maker and our husband has been pursuing his chosen people. We've bowed down, we've worshipped cows. We've committed spiritual adultery with pagan gods. We've even regarded the covenant too lightly. We've worshipped him hypocritically, taking worship as some light thing. Worship is to flow out of the household of God to the four corners of the earth. What starts here goes out into the world. Look at the sins of our culture. Because what we see out there is flowing out of the church. Adultery, sexual sin, a lack of fear, flippancy toward God. When the church gets worship right, when we get worship right, the fear of God will return to society. Marriages will be honored. Male and female roles will be kept. Sex will be right in the world. It flows from our covenant relationship with the Lord and our covenant meeting in worship. What the fall lost in the beginning, what sin and rebellion continually corrupt, Jesus restored, and that's what we enjoy today, and he continues to restore it to the church. Beloved, the Lord desires to commune with us. He loves it. And he loves us. He loves it so much that he set aside a day a week to do it. We need to love it too, that we take it seriously. No imperfect sacrifices, no flippant approach, no hypocrisy. Come ready to be cleansed and to be strengthened. For our God is a consuming fire, not past tense. He is a consuming fire. Regard him with reverence and awe. You need only fear punishment if you're not right with him, if you have those wicked sins you're trying to hide, if you're not taking his holiness and his grace seriously. So hear the message today from Malachi, from John, from Lord Jesus Christ. Get right with God. Get your worship right. Get your life right. And when this is the case, the grace of our relationship with God is overflowing. That grace is overflowing. It's glorious. When we recognize his pursuing love for us and his unrivaled faithfulness. So in Advent, appreciate his coming for you, for the sake of his people, for the sake of his promises, for the sake of his communion with us now and unto eternity. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, who sent thy messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and to prepare the way for our salvation, give us grace to hear their warnings and forsake our sins, that we may greet with joy the coming of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.